Welcome to EarnestlyContendingForTheFaith.com. This is Brother Mike Sutherland. Today, we'll be presenting our third part in a 14-part series that we have titled Satan's Counterfeits. And once again, it is based upon a document that I titled Identifying Satan's Counterfeits, Including His Sinister Ministers and Their False Doctrine. In our last session, we talked about counterfeit gods, and now we're going to talk about counterfeit Christ today. But I would like to start out with what has really become our theme verse or verses in this particular series, and that would be Matthew chapter 15, verses 8 and 9, where we quote this: "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." That's Matthew chapter 15, verses 8 and 9. And then we've also used a passage of Scripture over in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, quite frequently in this presentation so far. 2 Timothy 4, verse 2, "Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." Verse 3, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables." Now, there have been many antichrists throughout history. These will culminate in the Antichrist. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 24, verses 4 and 5, and verses 23 and 24. And then we're going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4. Matthew chapter 24, verses 4 through 5. "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." That's Matthew chapter 24, verses 4 and 5. Matthew 24, verses 23 and 24 say this: "Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." Now let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4. "For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him." Paul is stating there that he was fearful that the church at Corinth would bear with somebody that was teaching and preaching heresy. So we move on now, there have been many men down through the ages that have made claims to be Christ. There are seven men among the most prominent Jewish men to have claimed to be Christ, the Messiah. That's what that Christ literally means. The Christ means the Anointed One. He is the Messiah that the Jews have been looking for. Now, these seven Jews that I just talked about include Simon Bar Kokhba, 132 AD, Moses of Crete in the 5th century, Obadiah of Isfahan in AD 744, Abraham Abulafiah in the 13th century, Shabbethai Zavai in the 17th century, Nachman of Breslov in the 18th century, and Rabbi Menachem Schneerson in the 20th century. There have been numerous other Jews also that have claimed to be messiahs. There have been many Gentile men down through the century who have been identified with the supposition that they could be the Antichrist. The list could go on and on. The list is full of political, religious, and financial leaders. Satan must have a man prepared in every generation who can assume the role of Antichrist, because he does not know when the Lord Jesus Christ will return. Christ, or Christos, is the Greek term that refers to the Jewish Messiah. Both Christ and Messiah are terms that describe the Anointed One. The Messiah is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Anointed One. The Jewish people and their rabbis are still looking for the Messiah. They did not receive him at his first advent. There is coming a false Christ that the Jews will receive. The Lord Jesus Christ said this about them in John chapter 5, verse 43. I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye shall receive. Speaking of multiple men who could be the Antichrist, Muslims have been set up to receive the Antichrist. If you study the Quran and the Hadiths, you will discover that the Muslim Messiah perfectly fits the biblical description of the Antichrist. What about that, folks? The Muslim Messiah is called the Mahdi. Furthermore, in some aspects, the Muslim Antichrist fits the biblical Messiah. The Muslim Antichrist is called the Dajjal. Over the years, I've heard much discussion as to whether the Antichrist is Jewish, Christian, or Gentile. I have formed an opinion that is different from most of my O-line fundamentalist brethren. That opinion was formed based not just on the political character and the person of the Antichrist. It is based upon his religious doctrine and the geography associated with his actions as they relate to both Christians and Jews. That opinion is further informed by his attitude toward women. You will notice that I am using the word opinion. That's because the Bible does not specifically call out his religion. However, he is called the Assyrian in Micah chapter 5. When we speak of the Antichrist, we typically think of him being against Christ. While that is true, it does not convey a complete picture of the objectives of the Antichrist. While his actions are against Christ, it is more important to him to come instead of Christ. He wants to replace Christ and usurp his authority and right to worship. The ultimate counterfeit Christ is the Antichrist himself. There are many scriptural types of the Antichrist. These would include Nimrod in Genesis chapter 10, verses 8 through 10, Pharaoh in Exodus chapters 5 through 14, the bramble of Judges chapter 9, verses 14 and 15, the abominable branch of Isaiah chapter 14, verse 19, the branch of the terrible ones in Isaiah 25, verse 25, the Assyrian in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 25, and in Micah chapter 5, verses 5 through 6, the prince of Tyrus in Ezekiel 28, verses 1 through 10, the king of Tyrus in Ezekiel 28, verses 11 through 19, Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapters 2 through 4, Belshazzar in Daniel chapter 5, Haman in Esther chapters 3 through 7, the little horn of Daniel chapter 7, verses 7 and 8, Antiochus Epiphanes in Daniel chapter 11, verses 21 through 32, the willful king of Daniel chapter 11, verses 36 through 45, the first rider of a white horse in Revelation 6:2, and finally, the beast of Revelation 13, verses 1 through 10. Though the Bible contains much about the person of the Antichrist and his wickedness, the word Antichrist only appears 4 times in the Bible. All 4 of those appearances are in 1 John and 2 John. And we're going to quote those in context here. 1 John chapter 2, verses 18 through 23. Little children, It is the last time, and as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. That's 1 John chapter 2, verses 18 through 23. Now let's read 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Is it in the world? And then we have 2 John verse 7. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Folks, I've hit it over and over throughout many years that I've been teaching and been in the ministry, and the Lord Jesus Christ is God manifested in flesh. Most churches in America don't teach that, just like they don't teach you must be born again anymore. In fact, some people have turned the whole idea of having to be born again into a dispensational doctrine, and that's about as deceitful as you can get. Now, in the three passages of Scripture that we just looked at, we are warned that there were many antichrists already in the world, even in the Apostle John's day. Believe me that today that the spirit of Antichrist is manifesting itself in the most vile way since the Genesis flood destroyed all but 8 souls. I believe that the spirit is more wicked today than it was before the flood. I believe that spirit is more wicked than that which led to the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Those who are under the control of the spirit of Antichrist desert Bible-believing Christianity because they are not of us. They are not only deceivers, but they are deceivers that are being deceived. They have not the Spirit of Christ because they are possessed of the spirit of the devil, which is the spirit of Antichrist. What I'm saying here, folks, is they're not saved. We are given the prime marks of the Antichrist in these three passages of Scripture. Number one, they deny the existence of God as the Father. Number two, they deny the existence of God as the Son. Number three, they deny the existence of the ministry of God as the Holy Ghost. It is the ministry of the Holy Ghost that is the unction or anointing that gives Bible-believing Christians the spiritual discernment to recognize the spirit and person of the Antichrist. Number four, they deny that the Lord Jesus Christ came in the flesh. If you don't believe that, folks, you're as lost as Hogan's goat is. All four of these denials are a perfect description of the doctrines of Islam. I repeat that. All four of these denials are perfect descriptions of the doctrines of Islam. They deny the biblical Godhead in that they deny the theological Trinity and pronounce the death penalty upon anyone who will not deny the Trinity. While the Quran and the Hadith of Islam are a perfect fulfillment of all that is declared to be true of the Antichrist, there are many unsaved professing Christian heretics that deny the Son and that deny the Holy Ghost. They are called non-Trinitarians. Regardless of their religious affiliation, they are all possessed of the spirit of Antichrist. In the scriptures, we can readily identify at least 11 contrasts between Christ and the Antichrist. These would include the following, folks. Number one, the Lord Jesus Christ is referred to as the Son of God 52 times in the New Testament, whereas the Antichrist is referred to as the son of perdition in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. Number two, the Lord Jesus Christ is referred to as the mystery of godliness in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, whereas the Antichrist is referred to as the mystery of iniquity in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. Number three, the Lord Jesus Christ is called the man of sorrows in Isaiah 53, verse 3, whereas the Antichrist is called the man of sin in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 3. Number four, the Lord Jesus Christ is called the Holy One 52 times in the Bible, whereas the Antichrist is called the Wicked One in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 8. Number five, the Lord Jesus Christ is called the Truth in John 14, 6, while the Antichrist is called a lie in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11. Number six, the Lord Jesus Christ humbled himself in Philippians chapter 2, verse 8, while the Antichrist will exalt himself in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. Number seven, the Lord Jesus Christ was despised by the world in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 3, while the Antichrist will be admired and hotly pursued by the world in Revelation chapter 13. Number eight, the Lord Jesus Christ was and will be rejected by most according to John chapter 1, verse 11, while the Antichrist will be received by most according to Revelation 13, verse 8. Number 9, the Lord Jesus Christ did his Father's will according to John 6, verse 38, but the Antichrist will do his own will according to Daniel chapter 11, verse 36. Number 10, the Lord Jesus Christ is referred to as the Savior 29 times in the Bible, whereas the Antichrist is said to destroy in Daniel chapter 8, verse 24. Number 11, the Lord Jesus Christ is and will be highly exalted according to Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, but the Antichrist will be cast down according to Revelation chapter 19, verse 20. We can also make some comparisons between the Lord Jesus Christ and the Antichrist, and these would include the following. Number one, the Antichrist appears on a white horse in Revelation 6:2. The Lord Jesus Christ appears on a white horse at his second coming in Revelation chapter 19, verses 11 through 16. Number two, the Antichrist ushers in a period of false peace according to Daniel chapter 9, verses 26 and 27, and also 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 3. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace according to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. And he shall be the peace when the Assyrian comes into the land in Micah chapter 5, verse 5. And the Assyrian, of course, is the Antichrist. And he giveth the peace that passeth all understanding. That's Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. Number 3, the Antichrist experiences a death and a short-lived resurrection in Revelation chapter 13, verse 3. The Lord Jesus Christ experienced an everlasting resurrection in Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 7, Mark 16, verses 4 through 8, and Luke 24, verses 1 through 7. Hallelujah to that. Number 4, the Antichrist is worshipped in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 3, and in Revelation 13, verse 8. The Lord Jesus Christ accepted worship and received the worship of men in Matthew chapter 8 verse 2, Matthew 9 verse 18, Matthew 14 verse 33, Matthew 15 verse 25, and so forth. And why did he receive worship? Because he is God manifested in the flesh, folks. Number 5. The Antichrist performs many miracles in Revelation chapter 13, verses 13 through 15, and 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 10, and Matthew chapter 24, verse 24. The New Testament is full with the miracles performed by the Lord Jesus Christ. In closing these brief comments about counterfeit Christ, we would remind our readers and listeners that the Antichrist is the greatest of deceivers. He is the greatest enemy of Bible-believing Christians and Jews. His ultimate goal is to fulfill the five I wills of Isaiah chapter 14. He meets his final earthly destruction in Palestine. Please take note of the following scriptures in Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 through 32, and also in Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 11 through 19. Okay, starting in verse 12 of Isaiah chapter 14, and this is the downfall, if you will, of Lucifer, who's identified here. Verse 12, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, Is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake the kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness, and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of the prisoners? All the kings of the nation, even all them, lie in glory, everyone in his own house. But thou art cast out of thy grave like an abominable branch, and as the raiment of those that are slain, thrust through with a sword, that go down to the stones of the pit, as a carcass trodden under feet. Thou shalt not be joined with them in burial, because thou hast destroyed thy land and slain thy people. The seed of evildoers shall never be renowned. Prepare slaughter for his children, for the iniquity of their fathers, that they do not rise, nor possess the land, nor fill the face of the world with cities. For I will rise up against them, saith the Lord of hosts, and cut off from Babylon the name and remnant and son and nephew, saith the Lord. I will also make it a possession for the bittern and pools of water, and I will sweep it with the besom of destruction, saith the Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts hath sworn, saying, Surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass, and as I have purposed, so shall it stand, that I will break the Assyrian in my land." The Assyrian, remember, is the Antichrist. "That I will break the Assyrian in my land, and upon my mountains tread him underfoot. Then shall his yoke depart from off them, and his burden depart from off their shoulders. This is the purpose that is purposed upon the whole earth, and this is the hand that is stretched out upon all nations. For the Lord of hosts hath purposed, and who shall disannul it? And his hand is stretched out, and who shall turn it back? In the year that King Ahaz died was the burden." I want you to listen to these next few verses here. People are constantly defending the so-called land of Palestine and the Palestinian people. Can I say this? From the biblical perspective, there has never been a country called Palestine, and there's never been a Palestinian people. Verse 29 here, continuing on. "Rejoice not thou, whole Palestina, because the rod of him that smote thee is broken. For out of the serpent's root shall come forth a cockatrice, and his fruit shall be a fiery flying serpent. And the firstborn of the poor shall feed, and the needy shall lie down in safety, and I will kill thy root with famine, and he shall slay thy raiment. Howl, O gate, cry, O city, thou whole Palestina, there it is again, folks, art dissolved, for there shall come from the north a smoke, and none shall be alone in his appointed times. What shall one then answer the messengers of the nations? That the Lord hath founded Zion, and the poor of his people shall trust in it. And as a follow-on to my comments about Palestine, Palestine is in every occurrence where it occurs, and I believe it's in the Exodus chapter 15 where we see it at first. It is always a place of judgment. Not a country, not a people, but a place of judgment. Now let's go and look at Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 11 through 19. Verse 1, Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore will I cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee, and it shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. All that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee, and thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. That's Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 11 through 19. And you notice a vivid picture there where the Lord says that there's going to be a fire that will come forth within him and consume him. And if you read your Bible, especially over in the book of Zechariah, you know that there's going to come a time when there's going to be an event to take place where people will be standing upon their feet and their eyes will consume away in their sockets and their tongues and their mouths. And more or less, they're going to just consume away as they stand upon their feet. I would not want to be in that situation. Now, this completes our overview of counterfeit Christ. And the next time in our next study, we're going to be talking about counterfeit spirits. Thank you for joining us today.